everybody. It is Victoria Randall. I am the founder of the CNA Instructors Secret Cocktail, and I am here today. I have a wonderful interview for you. I am so excited. We will be interviewing Ms. Georgia Dixon of Life Healthcare Academy out of Texas, and she's going to talk a little bit about what it looked like starting a nurse aide training program for her in Texas. As you know, I love to bring you guys valuable information to help you start your own nurse aide training program. So I'm super excited to have this interview. Please get your questions. Ask them any time that you want throughout the interview. Hey there, Georgia.
Hi. It's so much more better with my earphones.
Perfect. So thank you so much for joining. Be sure to share this live with your page so that other people can view. And yeah, thank you. So I'm so glad we got this working properly this time. Let's go ahead and just jump into the interview, okay?
Yes.
All right. So tell us a little bit, Georgia, about your background as a nurse before you got into starting your nurse aide training program.
Awesome. So I've been a nurse for 11 years. I started when I was 24 years old. And during nursing school, I started in New York. That's where I'm coming from. We had an opportunity to become an aides to, you know, on our journey to our RN license. So I did patient care technician, and it's called, it's like a CNA in New York. And I did that for a full 2 years while I was in nursing school. And we call it internships. I wasn't paid for it. It was okay because, you know, I was still living at home. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And it was the foundation for my, where I fell in love with taking care of my patients, giving them baths, washing their hair, you know, feeding them. So I had that for a full 2 years. And I fell in love with nursing bedside at that point.
Okay, awesome. So the name of your school is Life Healthcare Academy. And it is out of what part of Texas?
So it's in Central Texas, Killeen, Texas, close to Fort Hood. We're about 40 minutes from Austin, Texas. Yeah.
And when did you start your program?
So I started my program back in October 2018, officially, like grand opening. And it took me a full 9 months to get credentialing and get everything on board. And I started in October, had my first class in November. And then, so I've been having every 5 weeks, I do with a week in between, and I started like that. So it's going on 6 months.
Great. And I like that you put a week between classes.
Yes.
Yeah. Afford you the opportunity to prepare, get graduation, and we'll talk about that, but I'm glad that you do that.
Yes.
Was that in your plans initially, or did that just happen as things progressed? You recognized that was something you needed to do.
It happened as I progressed. So initially I was like, oh no, it's every 5 weeks. Perfect. But no, I was like, I need a break. I need a break to recoup. It's graduation. I just need a breather to regroup, you know, get everybody that signed up and ask them, hey, are you willing to, you know, so it helped me with add time too. So that week is definitely needed.
Got you.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me a little bit about what inspired you to start a nurse aide training program.
So what inspired me is the lack of. The lack of CNAs and competent, caring CNAs in our nursing homes and in our hospital or even in the home. I wanted to bridge that gap. I hated to see that we're always short. And because of this shortage, it takes a toll on the entire staffing. If there's no one to care for our patients, then nurses, they can't even work effectively. The CNAs are the ears and the eyes of the nursing home and even the hospital. So not having them on staff, it was really hurting us, the nursing staff. So I wanted to get that going and get more in the community. And if I can train them, hey, I love it.
Yes, yes. Awesome. So
thank you.
Okay. So let's just get into it, because we want to talk about what some of the issues are that is keeping and holding people back from starting their own nurse aide training program. So my goal with you, Georgia, I've told my story a million times. I know they're tired of it. So I want to share someone else's story so that maybe they can get inspired or hear a different perspective, right?
Definitely.
So tell me, what was your biggest fear in starting your own nurse aide training program initially? What were you fearful of?
Okay, initially I was fearful of, oh my God, can I do this? I've never ventured into this area of just by myself. Another fear was the tedious, but doable application process.
Yes.
That is very intimidating. But then again, I had to pull from my strength and says, you've been a nurse and you've been a patient care technician. You can do this. There's nothing you cannot do. So I had to speak to my spirit, you know, and
Got you. No, that's a huge fear for a lot of people. And you know, letting go of their 9-to-5 to do it. So how did you deal with that? How did you transition?
So I haven't transitioned. I am still doing my 9-to-5. Now, what helped me was I had to hire an assistant. So you have to.
Yes, this is so true. You have to have, you cannot do it all on your own.
No, and although I have a business plan, I develop a business plan, and I had money to pay stuff, and I kept my overhead costs low. My school is only 1,000 square foot, guys, and I was just telling somebody who wanted to open a salon. I said, don't open a boom, boom, boom. No, open a little thing. Just decorate it really nice. So that's what I did. But I still have my job. I love my career as a nurse practitioner. But I was able to hire an assistant, and she's there 9-to-5. So she gets the traffic, people inquiring, coming in, and I come in the evening and I teach my night classes.
Awesome. So right now you are focusing on night classes. Do you get very many inquiries regarding a day class?
No. Since I've opened, I've had 4 people just ask, hey, do you have a day class? And I'm writing those down because that's where I want to expand next. Because, you know, I'm just growing. I'm only 6 months old and I want a day class. It's on my vision board. But I only have 4 people. So it tells me a lot that a lot of people have their career still or their little job and they want to go to night school. They want that flexibility and then convenience. Yeah.
Got it. So I think you raise a very valid point, and I even noticed it depends on your community, your target audience, right? What they need, and you have to provide that to them.
Yes.
And I definitely noticed that maybe during the summertime, I had more people wanting day classes and weekend classes, but then during the school year, they wanted evenings. And so you raise a very, very valid point. It's very important to kind of look at what it is that they need and be having your ears open to finding out what you may need to be more flexible on. So
Yes.
Okay. So when you initially went into business, did you do it all alone or did you have a partner?
Oh, I did it all alone. I am so proprietary. Now, I do have great support system behind me. My husband is extremely hands-on. He's my maintenance guy. He's my bill paying. So getting your support team on board is awesome. Do that. But I'm by myself.
Okay. I love that you have a support team. Yes, it is needed. I tell people all the time, one of my biggest mistakes was trying to do it all by myself.
Oh my gosh.
You cannot.
No. And at first I was like, oh, I don't need to hire anybody yet. But no, I quickly realized I need an assistant at least. So she is everything. And I love her. I'm blessed to have her. Yes.
Yeah. Shouts out to her, right?
Yes. Miranda, thank you.
Yeah, I quickly learned too that I needed someone there. People will constantly be calling your business, coming in and out of the business. They walk by, they see it, they want to know more. And if your door is not open for them, you have lost that potential student for sure.
Yes.
So I'm glad that I tell everybody that too. Please have an assistant. Would you agree? A receptionist, assistant, whatever you want to call them, have them there.
Yeah. Somebody asked a question if I had inquiries from Waco. No, I don't have any inquiries from Waco. Waco is a smaller, it's not as big as Austin, but it's a smaller town as you get closer to Dallas. And I haven't had any.
Okay. So we talked about what your biggest fear was now. And let's talk about that application because you did bring that up, right?
Ooh,
so the application can be very daunting. I know in the state of Texas, there's 2 different applications, right? There's one to the Department of Health and then there's one to the Texas Commission.
Yes.
And the Texas Workforce Commission can be very daunting. It's like 75, 100 pages maybe. I lost count, but it's a lot. So tell me about what part was most interesting or what part was easiest, what part was hard. Let's talk about that.
So I felt like I was doing a project. Just keep it like that. Have in your mind, I am doing this project. Because that's how it felt like to me. I had to do each step. I had to do my curriculum. Then you have to do just make it as a project. You're doing a project for school. That's how I treated it. The biggest problem was getting a CPA, getting an accountant to do my financials. And the period that I wanted to start my school, it was tax season. That's why it took me full 9 months to start my school. It's because it was tax season. And everybody was telling me, oh, you got to be on the back burner because it's tax season now. So guys, be careful when you start applying and you may get some delay with accountants because you're not on their priority. So as soon as tax season was done, I think it was May 1st, I was like, okay, tax season is done. Can you get me my financials? I need this. And I kept pounding on them and kept pounding and asking them to help me. And luckily one says, okay, tax season is done. Let me do it for you. But that was the biggest part. And it's the most expensive apart from the application. Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about the CPA. So people want to know, like, when it comes to financials, what do they want to know about my financials? What is it exactly they're looking for? And what is it exactly I need to provide? And what is it that I need this CPA for?
Yes. So the biggest thing they want to know is, if a student drops out of school, are you able to pay for the building? You know, because even though it's your passion, everything, but the door's got to be open. So if tuition fails, are you able to pay for your rent? Are you able to pay for your light and your water? So they want to see that your income and your assets and liabilities, can it matches up, or you're not like in the hole, or you're in high debt and you're trying to open a school. They're making sure that you are financially stable. So thank God I am. So I was able to, you know, show that, hey, I have a salary. This is what I make. I will be able to afford it if a student drops out one or two. So that's what they're looking at. So your accountant is going to do your asset and liability. They're going to look at everything, your bank account, your pay stubs. And so don't quit your job yet. Do not, tip number one, do not quit your job. Because you may not, my first class was just only one student.
Yes.
So do not quit your job. Stay with it. But that's what they're looking at. They're looking to see if you're able to pay for, you know, the school if a student drops out.
Yes. Another thing I know that they're looking for is, in the event that you do happen to have to close, right? And you do, where are your students going to go? What are your students going to do? Are you going to give them their money back? Do you have a surety bond, right?
Yes, definitely.
So having a teach out plan and things like that is definitely important too. So yeah, that is helpful, because everyone, you know, everyone wants to know that. And for those people who are in my business plan course, so I do have a business plan course that helps you prepare for your nurse aide training program. And there is a liability and assets portion to help give you an idea of what that looks like. Now, to your point, in Texas, you still have to actually have a CPA completed for you. Okay.
Yes.
So not all states, but Texas is one that you do have to have an actual CPA. But if, in case you're ever wondering, what does that look like? It's in the business plan course that I offer online. But also, there is no specific number. You know, so a lot of people want to know, is there a specific number? What's the number? There is not one, correct?
No, there is not one. No.
Yeah.
So, nope, there's not one. I would just say stay in your job, because they want to look to see your salary will speak volume.
Yes. So Sandra says her biggest fear is getting the facility, a facility to actually take her clients or take her students. And that is a big problem a lot of people worry about. Am I going to find a facility to take my students to for clinical rotations? And how do I cultivate that relationship so that I can get them to do that? So can you talk to us, Georgia, about how that went for you?
Sure. So unfortunately, in my area, there was a few nursing homes that had, you know, like dings against the city. The city had like tickets against them for not doing different stuff that were they were supposed to be doing. So that was a challenge for me too. But sometimes I'll call a state and say, hey, I'm trying to go into so-and-so nursing home. Do they have any problems? Do I need to be aware of? Cause I hate going in and signing in the state says, oh, by the way, they're not, you know, capable of having students. So I'll call the state so I do not have that problem. So once I know that these three nursing homes were in good standing with the state, I put on my lipstick. I did not send any, I didn't call, I didn't email, because people love to see face. And my thing is, nobody can resist my smile and my charisma.
I love the confidence.
Yes, I took my confidence in there, and the fact that, you know, this is what I do, and I tell them about my passion, and I want to bridge the gap with the shortage. Use the word shortage, because it is true. And they're like, oh yes, more school, more CNAs, we're short. And I said, that's what really helped me. So it's not somebody that I went to dinner with or anything. I just asked for the administrator. The state of Texas wants you to speak with not the ADN or the DON. They want you to go to the administrator of the nursing home. So you go in there and dress well and sell your school and tell them that you're able to, you want to get this shortage fixed. They are going to want to work with you.
I love that. I tell people a lot of times, let me back up. First of all, you raise a very valid point. You have to make sure the nursing home is in good standing.
There are some states you can look that information up online to see who's on the banned list is what it's called. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But then, like you said, sometimes you have to call. But it's very important because if a nursing home has maybe multiple abuse or neglect issues or they're not in good standing with Medicare or Medicaid, yes, they cannot have CNAs at their
period. No.
So it is very important. And that's why I tell people, make sure you have more than one nursing home. Okay. Don't wait until you get two, but please try to get two, because if something happens to the nursing home that you're with, now you don't have any place for your students to go and they can never graduate. Therefore, you can't have a school and you can't make money. So please have more than one school, right?
I mean, definitely.
More than one nursing home.
Yes. Great tip.
Right. Yeah. But what you were saying, I like about how can it appeal to them, right? And there's a nursing shortage. I'm bridging the gap for that shortage, and potentially my students can then become your employees, right?
Yes. And actually, on the first day of clinicals, they're already hired. The nursing someone said, I mean, so they're already marketable. They're very marketable, these students, just because they're very hardworking. So there's no problem with that. Have no fear with getting nursing homes to come on board.
Yeah, I agree. You just got to get out there, get a list of nursing homes in your area, and go to them and check them off the list.
Check them off the list.
That's exactly what I did, too. And
some exactly.
You got to go three and four times, and that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so many people say, well, how can I get this nursing home to want to partner with me when I don't even have a school open yet? Like, why would they do that? They know and they understand that. They know when you're in a new school, you don't have a facility yet. And you're not.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I tell them, hi, I'm starting a new school in Central Texas, in Killeen, Texas, and I would love to partner with you and have my students here to train to potentially become your employees one day and to help fill the shortage.
I love it. HHS is help the...
Texas Health and Human Services.
Health and Human Services. There we go. Yes. Why is the second HHS? Health and Human Services.
Services, yes.
But each state is different. So some state, it may be the Department of Health, so DOH, right? So it depends on your state. So please keep that part in mind, but it's the health department per se.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us about your startup process. When you started up, what did that look like? When did you decide to get equipment? How did you get it? Things like that.
Oh, wow. So for my startup, I used, of course, my money. I did my business plan. I see how much money I needed to do, but I was very frugal. I went on Craigslist. I went on Let Go is Your Best Friend. Let Go. My bed was somebody, it was her father, that her hospital bed that she had in her room, but the father passed away. So she sold that bed for really cheap. So now I was able to have a hospital bed for my students to train on. I, of course, sanitize it, but guys, use Let Go and use my filing cabinet. It was a school that was getting rid of their supplies. And I went and bought them for like $25 for a full 2-filing-tall cabinet. Yes.
Yep.
So use your community resources. Go on Facebook Marketplace and find equipment. You don't have to buy everything on cheap, the first, initial price. There are certain things you're going to need, like supplies, your gloves. Those things I got on Amazon.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. That's how I found a lot of my stuff. Maybe it was, we were taking care of mom at home. She's now deceased.
Yes.
We don't know what to do with this stuff. They're out there. They're not going to fall on your lap. You do have to look for them.
No,
but
you have to.
Out there.
Yes. Okay.
So do you find the transition from nurse to CNA instructor very easy? Did you find that there was a little bit of a learning curve there? Tell me a little bit about what that looked like in your personal experience.
I would say I was comfortable with it, but I had to know that everybody learns at a different pace, at a different time, with different techniques. So I'll have students that will learn from me talking with them, but some had to do questions and to get repetitive learning. So learning everybody teaching technique, how they learn, it was the biggest challenge for me, but I'm loving it because I'm learning from them. I ask them, how do you learn? How can I make what I'm saying to you more understandable? And they'll tell me. So, but the transition, I was confident. I'm always confident. You would not know that I'm nervous like now. I'm kidding. But I'm always, confidence goes a long way. So I was confident that the material, you studied it, you've done this, you breathe, live and eat it every day of your nursing career. So to teach this, it was it's second to nature. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. When I teach, so I teach people how to write their curriculums. I know in the state of Texas, they provide you with the curriculum.
Yes.
However, even though they provide you with the curriculum, they do not tell you how to deliver the content, correct?
No.
Yes. That part is missing. The other part that is missing from the Texas curriculum is also how to evaluate them, right? That part is missing. And then the third part that is missing is where at in the book, depending on which book you choose, that you can find that information, right?
Yes.
So I teach classes. I have a seminar and I teach an online class where I help deliver that. And I love what you just said, finding the different ways each person learns.
Yes.
And you can literally stand in front of a classroom and you're in the middle of lecturing and you will look out into that classroom and you will see two faces that have this, I don't know what the hell she's talking about look, right?
Yes.
And you have to acknowledge that. And you have to say, okay, I can see student A and student B is not getting this. How can I help them get it?
Yes.
If I'm lecturing, maybe they are not a cognitive learner. Maybe I need to get them involved. Maybe they're kinesthetic. So when we get in the lab, I'm going to be on them, right?
Yes.
Maybe they need some type of affective technique. So maybe I need them to feel and get understanding. So I'll call them up and do a role play with them or something. So there's different ways that you have to be very creative, to your point, in ensuring that you're delivering the content so that every student can get it.
Yes.
And then you have to think, even though that student got that one time, they still need it multiple times. Even though you taught it four different ways, student A only understood it one way.
One way.
And that was just that one time.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you still have to find multiple ways.
You have to.
I love that you said that.
You have to. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. And some professors always think, oh, if I stand up and teach and I have this monotone, they're going to get it. No. Everybody gets learning differently. So I had to learn that. And, you know, so definitely.
Love that.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about tuition. How did you decide your tuition? How did you go about that?
Very good question. So I call around and I ask what my other schools were charging for their tuition. And because I am new, I wanted people to come to my school. Mm-hmm. So it was a technique I did. So I charge $150 less and most schools like $500 less so that people will come to my school and I'll get feedback from them and say, oh girl, I'm glad I came to your school because that school is charging an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. So that was my technique. I went under what my.
Got you. Okay. So yes. I tell people too, you know, always, of course, make sure that, like you said, you're scoping the competition, at least three competitors, find out what it is that they're charging. And when I say competitors, I mean people closest to you, right?
Yes, yes.
Find out what they're charging and then figure out not only what they're charging, but what is included in that tuition, because that's important too.
That is.
That their tuition is very cheap, but then they're nickeling and diming them for other items, right?
Yes.
So how can I leverage that? So as I shared with you earlier when we talked for me, a lot of people were very cheap. And I was like, how in the world are they getting away with charging like $500 to $600 for this nurse aid training program? Like, how are
that's hard.
Money, right? Because that's what my competitors were choosing, charging. And I knew I needed to charge more because I looked at, you know, what does it mean to get a book and stethoscope and blood pressure cuff, because I believe every student needs a blood pressure cuff and stethoscope. I believe that because I feel like I'm teaching you in class, but when you go home, how are you learning? So I really felt like every student needed one because that is one particular skill that I know in my state, people were failing.
Yes.
And so how can I ensure that they get it outside of the classroom, right? Just all those things. And I decided I'm doing all-inclusive tuition.
Yes.
And my tuition is going to be higher than everybody else's because of it. But now I don't make them feel like they're getting nickel and dime, right?
Yes.
So I really looked at how much is it going to cost me for each item I'm including in tuition? How can I bundle that into a package? And how can I sell it even though it's higher than everyone else?
Yes. That's smart.
Point, whatever it is, look to your competition to see that's your tuition price, but what includes that and how can I leverage myself against it, you guys? I would definitely
recommend. Yes. I included a couple of stuff in my tuition, but I love your tip. That's awesome.
Jessica says, how do students normally pay for their tuition? Do they normally pay out of pocket or is there financial aid that's available? I love that question, Jessica. That's segueing into the next one because Georgia and I talked about different ways she was going about trying to help her students with grants. So can you talk a little bit about that, Georgia?
Sure. So most of my students, they pay out of pocket, you know, but then again, I was realizing that people were telling me, I want to start your school so bad, but I do not have the money. I don't even have the down payment to pay for it. So I had a lot of that. And I was like, I need to reach those students. How can I reach them? So I asked for help from the government. TWC offer a grant for low income students, but you have to apply for it.
And you know the name of that grant, Georgia?
Texas Workforce Commission. I don't know per se. Low income scholarship.
And what you figure it out, come back to this live feed and type it in there.
Yes, I will type it in. Yes. But it is a grant where you apply for it and you give them your financial, that same financial packet that you got from your CPA, you give it to them. And it's a entire application that you fill out. You could do it online and then you have to send it in also. But it will, the students will receive a voucher, and that voucher they'll bring to the school and able to say, hey, I want to take your school. Here is my voucher to go to your school. And it takes a while I got approved for it, thank God. But now is the state to send me the certificate to get it. Yes.
Okay. Was there anything in particular you can think of that you really needed to point out that they were looking for that you may have had to dig for to get approved for that?
So I had to dig for example, they wanted to know, are you going to provide jobs? So I had to find out exactly what were the hospitals that were hiring and will hire my students. And I went back to that nursing home and I said, hey, my students, will you hire them? Because Texas Workforce Commission, before they're going to pay a student to come to your school, they want to make sure that they're hireable. Like that career that you're saying that they want to come to your school for, will they get it for real? So I had to, you know, find openings and send that in also. Say, hey, I found 50 jobs currently in my area. So please send students to me so I can train them so they can go work for that.
I like that. And, you know, and to be honest, when you really, because sometimes every now and then in our business model, we always should step back and reevaluate it, right? And see, what am I doing? What's working? What's not? What do I need to change, right? And so there may be a point in time, and not just you, but anybody, when you're in business, you're looking at, okay, this is a new connection I've made. I'm noticing that maybe my students are not happy with the fact that they have to go get a book on their own or whatever it is. That's especially, they don't have car, they don't have, you know, whatever, credit cards, whatever the problem is.
Correct.
It's hard for them to access these resources. Maybe I need to bump my tuition up to this amount and come to help them cover that to make it easier for them. That's what it looks like my business model is going. And then if I know that I'm getting a lot of funds, that I know for a fact the funds will cover this. So sometimes when you're in a position like you are now, Georgia, where you know for a fact that you're able to start getting this money coming in directly, it helps you to reevaluate, how can I ensure that now I'm getting things covered, right?
Yes, I'm still learning from you, Victoria.
So definitely always reevaluate. Okay, so the next question I wanted to ask you, and we're going to wrap up. So you guys, whatever questions you have, start asking them because we're going to wrap up here. But Georgia, what advice would you tell someone who is entering this field and wants to get started? What advice would you give them?
I would tell them to ask for help. Recruit your supporting team. If that's your husband, your sister, a fellow nurse, your team, they want to help you. They're glad that you're starting this entrepreneurship venture. So they're going to want to help you. Ask for help and hire help. I feel like even an assistant, you know, not paying her minimum wage, but pay her a good salary. You can afford that. So hire help, get help, and don't give up. It's a very tedious process, but it's doable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are reasons to have Victoria along the step of the way. It does not have to take you 9 months like it did me. You can always get her help with that. So don't give up. A big thing that I had to do and I'm still doing is celebrate my small win. Small, small, small. I have schools that are my goals. Like, oh my God, I would love to have this size. But I'll tell you to don't give up and do Google ads. That's been helping me. Google ads and Facebook ads. And always ask, how did you hear about my school? And run to that. Because that's where that's going to be coming from. So, you know, that will help. Another thing is be a walking billboard. Get t-shirts. Have your friends and your neighbors put the t-shirts on. So when they go to Hobby Lobby and Lowe's, somebody would say, oh, that's a nursing school. Let me write that down. I put my business owners on my t-shirt. It's on my car. One of my students currently right now, she was going to the doctor's office and minding her own business. This is exactly what she said. And she saw me in front of her and she said, oh, a CNA school. And she wrote it down, came straight, did not go to her dentist's office, came straight to my school and signed up. And she's currently in my class. So I paid $67 for a sticker on my car and I'm able to get a student. So advertise, maximize advertisement. Maximize it.
I love how you put the number to it, right? $67 for a magnet and the return on investment was times,
yes,
I don't know, 15, right?
Yes, yes.
800 for a student you're charging,
right? Yeah, 850. $850. Yeah. So $67 to put it on the back of my car and $850.
I love that. I tell people all the time, that's the number two thing people are so fearful of, is investing in their business, investing in their marketing. Do not be afraid to invest in your marketing, no, guys. You're going to get a return on investment, I promise. Even if you only get one student off of that Google ad that was $350.
Yes.
It paid for itself. It,
yes,
paid for itself. I can't tell you how many people I consult with and they're really afraid
to yes,
dive into marketing.
And for to boost, you could pay $10 to boost your ad to about 500 people. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? $10 to boost to 500. So go ahead and boost. Do Facebook boost, Google ads, buy some t-shirt. It took me $12 to make t-shirts from my local printing company. Do that. Wrap your car. Put it at the back of a window. You don't have to put the entire car.
Yeah.
But wrap your car. Do something. And have your people wear your t-shirts too. So they'll go everywhere and say, hey, can you wear my t-shirt on Saturdays? So that's, yeah, a very good tip that I use.
Sheila says, do you have to be classified for a large school versus a small school for the grant?
That's a very good question. And it does ask you if you're a large school or a small school. I am not sure.
You're classified as small, correct?
I am very small. I'm only 1,000 square foot. I am, yeah, very small. And even when you're applying for the TWC application, there's a difference in price with small versus,
yes,
large.
Is. It's $1,001 for a small school. It's $3,000 for a large in the state of Texas.
Yes.
And that is based upon how many students you plan on having for the year. Okay?
Exactly.
And that also includes, when you think about that, you also need to think about that in terms of your surety bond too, I mean your insurance, because it covers you based upon how many students you plan on having annually as well.
Exactly.
I recommend anyone starting to do a small initially, because you don't,
yes,
want to call that and you may not get it, okay?
Exactly. And it keeps your overhead costs low. So, you know, if you have a small space, your rent is going to be low, your light is going to be low, and your water and phone. So I feel like going big initially is never a good idea.
No.
No.
All right. Jessica says, thank you so much. I'm in Texas and this was such helpful information.
Oh,
I'm so glad.
Thank
Jessica.
You. Don't give up, Jessica. Don't give up. And there is no elevator to success. You got to take the stairs. And it means sleepless nights. Yes, sleepless nights, long hours. Just get some support team. Get your family on board and for them to help you because they want to help you.
They do. And yes, they just don't know how.
They don't know how. Yes.
You have to guide them.
Sometimes I call my girlfriends and I say, hey, how about we have girls' day out, but we're going to do flyers first. Is that okay? And they're like, yes.
I love that.
So I incorporate my flyers with my girl. Yes. Before we do lunch, can we do some flyers, girl? Of course. Yes.
I love that. Rose says, is there a maximum number of students that you can start your school with?
So because it's just me, I can only have 10 students in the clinical site. So I keep it at 10 for now because it's just me right now. It's on my vision board to expand day classes and to get bigger and have another instructor. I have two instructors. It's on my vision board. So you have to, for only one, you have to have 10 in the clinical side and about 16 in the classroom.
Yeah, and you will. I have no,
yes,
doubt about that. You will. Hey, Jasmine. Jasmine's here. Jasmine says great information. Jasmine took one of my online courses on getting her nurse aid training program up and going,
great,
the curriculum and things like that. And I think she's submitting soon, or she already has. So I'm super excited for Jasmine and I can't wait to hear the,
yes,
response and her getting ready for her inspection and things like that.
Awesome.
Daphne said, where are you at in Texas? I think she missed that part.
Oh, so I am in Killeen, Texas, right outside of Fort Hood, 40 minutes from Austin. So right in the dead center of Texas.
And I do want to remind people that the number of students that you can have is based upon your state. So I'm not sure what state you're in, but just know that the number of students per instructor ratio is a state-based requirement. So for her, she said it's 10. For us in Georgia, it is 14.
Oh, I've great.
15. I think it was 15. I work with so many states, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it depends on the state, okay? Sheila says, does your school have space, individual offices, or is it for private student communications? Does your school space have individual offices? Oh, okay. Does your school have individual offices or for private student communications? Describe your office for us.
Oh, sure. So I wanted a lobby, definitely, where my people will wait. Then I wanted a front desk, and I made sure it was a glass where we could, you know, that kind of setting up. Then as you step in is the office. I shared my office with my assistant. We didn't have to have two offices. If you go to small school, you got to know how to work your spaces. Then I have my classroom, and then I have my lab, and then I have a break room and a bathroom. So, yes, but the lab is very important. You need a space for your lab. I did not want to outsource this to someone and having to go somewhere else for my students. I wanted them to be in right there in my school.
Yeah, definitely. And the lab, you know, to your point, it needs to have room. It needs to have the ability to provide privacy, because when the students are taking the state exam, they need to be able to draw the curtain or close the door or whatever to provide privacy. So you have to make sure that you have that also in the lab, right?
Yes.
Do you have a curtain? Do you have a door? What do you have for privacy?
So I have a door, but in Texas, we go to Purdue location to be tested. Yes. So it'll be, and our testing center is in Waco and Lampasas. That's nearby cities. It's a center that we have to go to.
Okay. So I know we were talking, Georgia, and you said it took you about a good 9 to 10 months to get everything going in the entire process. What would you suggest to someone to expedite that process, or what would you say could have helped you if you would have known ahead of time? There we go.
Oh my God. If I had known you, there are resources out there, and I searched, but for some reason, I think I didn't search long because I was all, you know, in my head, I need to get this done, but you have everything set up. You have teaching how to do the curriculum, how to do your business plan, how to do everything. So I feel like, guys, please go out. A lot of people are reaching out to me, and I'm like, listen, this took me forever. Do not let that happen to you. Go to Victoria. Thank God that there are people like you in the world that will help us. So you don't have to do 10 months of learning stuff on your own. You can learn with her. So go ahead and use her. She is your pusher. So go ahead. If I had known you, it would not have taken me 10 months, but it took me a long 10 months.
Yeah. Well, you did better than me, girl. It took me 2 years. So you did better than me. Okay. They said, Victoria, are you having any person workshops coming up? So in-person workshops. So I do. Good question. I have a in-person seminar. It's a 3-day seminar that I do, and it will be out of Atlanta. No matter what state you're in, this workshop can help you. The seminar covers your handbook, your student policies, your handbook, you know, telling about for the students as well as your business, rather. We talk about the nursing home contract, how to acquire that, how to write one if your state does not provide one. We really go through in depth. I give you business aspects. So if there's questions you have, we do a Q&A session. You have business questions, we go through and talk about that. And like I said, it's for 3 days in Atlanta, and the next one will be in July 26th, 27th, and 28th. And I love you guys. Awesome. So I give you food. I give you breakfast and lunch the first day. And then I also have an online course too. So I have an online course that is self-paced in case you don't want to travel and do all that. And you can go through, and it provides the exact same information. You just go through and do it at your own pace. But I take the time to meet with you weekly. We meet every Sunday, and I go through and ask questions, give you confirmation, help give you live feedback so that you can be successful. Jasmine says, I'm so excited. I'm day 25 of 90 and getting a response from the state. Victoria's awesome. Wow. Thank you so much, Jasmine. Yeah, Jasmine's been keeping me up to date, and I can't wait until Jasmine gets her approval, because I'm here for her grand opening, and we're going to be celebrating. And Jasmine, as I stated, keep in contact with me because I want to help you understand how to maximize your grand opening, right? How to get people there, how to get the word out, how to get people vested. When I did my grand opening, I had the commissioner, I had the tax commissioner. I had the district commissioner. I let everybody know. And because that is their area, they want to support small businesses. They want small businesses in their district. These leaders, these community leaders, they want that. And they want to support you. So those are the people you need to reach out to. Those are the people your taxes are paying. And
yes,
supporting you and helping you getting the word out.
And something I learned is it's never too late to have a grand opening. Because I never didn't have a grand opening. I was like, the first student signed on, I was like, oh, okay, let's go. But I want to do a grand opening this summer and get everybody on board, like you said. So that was one of the things that I learned from you, too. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah, a grand opening is huge. And you're right. You can do it 6 months later. You can do it a year later. It doesn't matter. Your grand opening is just saying to the world, hey, I'm here. I exist. This
exactly.
is what I do. And at the grand opening, you can offer, you know, some type of something to give them to make them want to sign on at the grand opening. So
yes.
it's your opportunity to market yourself. For sure.
Yes.
Tell local newspapers. Tell anyone who's willing to listen.
Yes.
What you're doing. You know, you send them a formal letter just explaining to them that this is the business, this is what you do, and this is your grand opening, and invite them out. Heck, hopefully you can even get the news there. Go for it.
Yes. Go hard or go home.
That's right. The worst that a person can do is tell you no. At least you tried.
Yes. And one of my biggest tips is visualization. Visualize yourself where you want to be and just go after it. Go get it.
So Jasmine, well, she said she's got her equipment. Okay, good, definitely. So Georgia, tell me, last question. You said your very first class, you had one student.
Yes.
Tell me about your largest class. What is your largest class?
Oh, my largest class is now I have 8 students. It's class number 4. So I'm at class number 4. So, and I have 8 students and I'm excited. And somebody says because of tax season, why everybody says, you know what? I have some money. Let's start school. So I'm excited. So I hope to keep that momentum. I am praying my diving deeper into Google ads, Facebook ads. And my thing is advertisement has to. So I love your live video when you did that advertisement. Thank you for doing for schools that are already open.
Yes.
So I love that you cater to us too. So yes, when you did that live feed and I was on it and I was like, okay, how do I learn? So I took a lot of notes and I learned from you about the Google ads and I did my research. I was like, oh, this is really awesome. So I want to keep that momentum. So my largest class from class 1, now I'm at class 4, is 8 students. And I'm celebrating my win. I am celebrating it.
You need to be, because that's
yes,
6 months in, 4 classes in, you have more than quadrupled your
yes.
class. That's awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome. And she, you raise a very valid point. Be sure that you are capturing where your students are coming from, where your impact, where your dollars are making the most impact, and you need to invest more there. I am going to be doing more about marketing because
yes.
nurses are lacking that aspect of it. We are.
Yes.
And so my goal is to start bringing more resources when it comes to marketing, because you can have a business all day. You can start a business all day. But if no one knows you exist or you don't know how to tell people you're there, you're not going to stay in business.
Yes. And most businesses close because nobody's coming. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that. Nope.
And,
nope,
and
nope.
There's no question that people don't want to become CNAs. That's
yes.
Right. We know that.
Where are they? Come on.
All right. So last here we have Rose says, what makes a school capable to accept financial aid? Bro, I'm going to have to leave that for the next session because I do have to get going. I have to get off this live and get going to the next. But that is a really good question. And we will be talking more about that. There's a certain type of accreditation that you need to get and a certain type of course that you need to offer. And usually the CNA course itself does not afford you the ability to get FAFSA. Usually you have to get like the patient care tech, the courses that are a little longer, things like that. Yeah. So, but we'll talk about that. Okay. Just like my page, follow me, sign up for my letters. If you're not getting them, I send out my newsletter or my emails. I send them out a few times a month, letting you know what lives I have going on and things like that. So stay in contact. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Anything else you want to leave us with, Georgia?
Just don't give up. Pray for guidance. Write your goals down. Visualize them. Visualize where you want to be and go after it. Don't stop. Do not give up. Be hungry for it. Be hungry. Eat, sleep, breathe your school. Success will come.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Georgia, I want to thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
I wish I could meet you, and I can't wait till I do get a chance.
I know, definitely.
But
thank you so much
for taking the time to speak to my audience. I know that your information you provided them with was very valuable, and I know that you take a lot from it and feel very inspired by you.
And thank you for all that you do. You are an inspiration to many and to me, who's just 6 months old. I'm still learning. Yes, I'm at the creeping stage.
You're doing great.
I hope you enjoyed Ms. Georgia Dixon's interview. She provided very valuable insight on how she started her CNA school in Texas. Remember though, everyone's journey is a bit different, but we can learn from each other. If you'd like to learn more about The Secret Cocktail and our services, please feel free to look us up on social media such as Facebook, IG, or YouTube by searching The Secret Cocktail. Or you can always visit us online at www.thesecretcocktail.com. Thank you for listening to The Secret Cocktails podcast. And remember that you can accomplish anything you put your mind to, whether you do it on your own or you gain assistance from a consultant like me. Patience and perseverance will get you where you need to be every time. I am your pusher, Victoria Randall, giving you what you need to be successful. Signing out.